Headline Story is proudly brought to you by Alex Forbes. Alex Forbes, insight, advice, impact.
My name's Angie Squalls, and I'm joined by Mr. Danny Mayer from SME Compete. Welcome, sir.
Always great to be on your program, Angie.
From your experience as SME Compete, what are the biggest challenges women-owned and women-led SMEs face when it comes to assessing finance?
Well, women entrepreneurs actually are dominant throughout the country. And so women have the character traits that augur well for success in business. And you find them all over. There are, however, specific challenges that females who venture into the business arena do face. And it usually requires them to multi-skill in the sense that they have the family domestic responsibility in addition to the responsibility in running the business and growing it. These are not challenges that are upfront that are faced by men. The other challenges that women in business face, of course, are somewhat similar in the sense that it starts with access to affordable workspace, access for funding to either start or to grow your business, navigating the bureaucracy associated with being in business, all the forms, compliances, and so forth. So those are shared by all entrepreneurs, but particularly women usually have that domestic responsibility, looking after the family, and that requires you to balance your time and manage your time very well, particularly if your family are still very young. Children, the responsibilities with caring for them. So it is difficult for women, and hence the reason we don't see them move outside of their domestic market. So usually women, if they're successful in a town, they stay in that town. They don't branch out into another town and so on, because they obviously don't want to travel away from the home and so forth. And perhaps that's why there's a perception that, you know, men in business are more successful than women. It's not true, actually. And we work on the front line. We see that all the time.
How could this program change the business landscape for women, especially in rural or underserved areas?
Well, actually, it's really great that the Africa Development Bank has come in with this program, because they've done wonderful work along the same lines in many other African countries. And it's great that they've partnered with the Development Bank. And from my understanding from the program, the targets are quite high. They want to reach in the thousands of females in business across the country in all 14 regions. And their focus will be very much on making sure that the ones they support through various interventions, programs, skills upgrades, and so on, become bankable clients. And so that's great that this program is coming in. What is particularly good about it as well is that it doesn't have an age limit on it. It's females in business, women-led businesses, because that is obviously a concern with the program that was recently launched by government, which is youth-focused, because very often ladies, when they get into business, especially when they move from informal to formal or micro to small enterprises, they tend to be in their either late 20s, well into their 30s and so on. So many will not qualify for the youth fund that's being put in place. So this is going to capture their attention, and it's great because those women do need help. They need help to become bankable clients, to become attractive to funding institutions. And this program, as we understand it, is fairly broad in that it helps with the financial literacy, the skills development, and so on. And so an exciting development. And I do hope that female entrepreneurs across Namibia are going to respond positively and make sure that they do apply, they participate. It's going to nurture them to move to scale their business and move. Many might just be more in beauty care, training, and so on. And this is actually an opportunity to now venture into the manufacturing sector as well. That's to, in other words, make products rather than just sell products, add value. And the other thing is that it will also undoubtedly support those female businesses in the service sector, because we see from the graduates at the vocational training centers, more and more females are going into areas such as electrical, renewable energy, solar, welding, carpentry, joinery, and so on. And so it's going to provide an opportunity for them to get the funding they require for either their operational needs, their working capital needs, and also, of course, at a higher level, the equipment needs to scale up their business by buying more equipment and so on. And ultimately, Namibia will benefit in the economy in the sense of wealth and job creation.
Beyond access to capital, what other forms of support do women entrepreneurs need most, like training, mentorship, market access?
They need all of those, actually, Angie. But an area that is actually very weak when it comes to financial services would be like insurance. It seems to me that the insurers in the country don't look at the longer term. So it's very difficult when it comes to micro insurances for small enterprises, women entrepreneurs to insure their assets against theft, fire, and other calamities. So there needs to be a lot more work done. And now I know this program doesn't focus on, you know, the other financial services that that an entrepreneur requires routinely during the course of conducting business. And it covers those that you've mentioned, such as mentorship and training and skills upgrade and so on. But there are some other financial services, not strictly banking, which is difficult to access by entrepreneurs and female entrepreneurs. And then, of course, also access to affordable workspace. Whilst there are business centers, incubation centers, and so on, there's no step up. So when a business now outgrows premises, they rent it, say, in a municipal SME park or a government SME park or a market, the next level up for them to get premises, maybe they now need to move from 20 square meters to, say, 80 square meters or even more floor space. That is where the problem comes in. And when you manufacture, you do need space. You normally have a manufacturing process. You need the equipment. You need to do your pairing of your material and the packaging, and then, of course, storing before it goes to the market and so on. And that is a major challenge, access to affordable workspace. Another one that is often overlooked is the human resource side, staffing. So what happens, most Namibians go into employment, paid employment. Their first job will normally be with a small business. That's where they gain the experience. That's where they learn the world of work. And it's usually provided by that entrepreneur owning that small enterprise. It makes the employee more attractive to other employers, larger firms. And then they go out and, of course, get a better job and remuneration. That's quite normal. But what happens is the funding support that is in place to support interns to gain work experience is leaving that whole sector out. It's more for the established firms and so forth. So this is an area that needs redress, needs remedial action, that public institutions who are helping prepare young Namibians for the world of work should also be looking at the tremendous work that's being done at that micro and even informal sector level, where that's usually the start of a young Namibian's entry into the world of work, getting a paid job. So these are areas. There are others as well, of course, understanding. And I mentioned earlier the compliance, you know, it's too cumbersome. It needs to be made much more user-friendly, whether it be local government's fitness certificates, whether it be the NAMRA registrations, social security. They really need to be a lot more effort put up. In fact, pressure, not just effort but pressure on institutions to do a lot more when it comes to training, to helping entrepreneurs, not just standing there ready to punish when they default, often through no fault of their own. They just didn't have the knowledge. So these are issues that also need to be addressed. The regulatory environment, making business easier, the ease of doing business and so forth. So those are some, Angie, and you and I can have a two-hour discussion about it and how it can be done, because it's pretty simple. It can, all these problems we know, they can easily be rectified without much money required or resource. Everything is already in place.
just the last question, looking ahead, what does the real empowerment for women in business look like to you? And how do we get there?
It's now realized that women, roughly half the population, have a very important role. And that role, of course, we should not denigrate the importance of their role as the maternal role, the female role in the household. But we should also understand that most of them actually have a lot more to offer. And we should tap into that, their creativity, their ability to think things over, to work, to rationalize, to make a meaningful contribution to the economy. I think it's been pushed aside for too long, and we must realize that women are equal in any respect, and probably even have character traits that could put them above males, and that should not be lost. They should be making a contribution towards the development of Namibia's economy at a much faster rate.
Thank you so much for the opportunity to once again speak to you.
Thank you, Angie, and thanks. And I encourage all the entrepreneurs out there, and particularly females, you don't have to stand in the shadow of anybody. You can go out there and do it.
The Lead Story was proudly brought to you by Alex Forbes. Alex Forbes, insight, advice, impact.